The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I am here with Illini guy Larry Smith, Illini guy Brad Sturdy. We have Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince, and Illini guy's staff reporter, Matt Stevens. We are talking about the Illini falling to the Houston Cougars in the first or the second round of the NCAA tournament. In a game that was a challenge offensively, both halves, except for a couple brief moments when the Illini caught a fire. Brad, you were there. Give us your initial thoughts based on what you got to see up close and personal.
Well, I think Houston's good. Defensively, I think they're athletic. They play the way they play. They throw it at the rim and go get it. That's kind of their offensive system. They run a lot of ISOs, and that's what they did. When they missed, they got a lot of rebounds. They did exactly what we thought. We said they were going to just post-trap the crap out of Kofi, and Illinois had to make perimeter shots for them to win. And, well, they were 6 of 25 from 3. So it really comes down to that. If they'd have shot 10 of 25 from 3, it's a different game. I mean, it seems like it's that simple. The only thing that bothers me about this game, you miss shots, whatever. And people have said that they thought Illinois was out-hustled or whatever. My thing is this. They weren't really out-hustled. Houston is just longer and more athletic, so they're going to get to more balls. They're quicker, longer. They're going to get to more balls, especially long rebounds, when they take these shots that come off the rim weird. So that's one. The second thing, but the thing that bothers me is the out-of-bounds plays. Illinois was deplorable on out-of-bounds plays. They had seven or eight turnovers on sideline and baseline out-of-bounds plays. Now, they had four different guys inbound the ball today, or three different guys inbound the ball. Demonte, Trent, and Curbelo. All of them turned it over. Every time, it was always an issue. So, it's the design. It's obviously the game plan or something wrong with it that doesn't fit. So, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. Those seven turnovers led to, 10 or 12 points. That's just game-changing right there. When you have the ball and you can't even get it inbounds.
So, Brad, real quick before we go around the horn, one question that I had is Illinois has historically been pretty successful on their out-of-bounds plays. Anything that you saw that maybe was indicative of what was going on today? Because we haven't had these problems for, 3.5 years or something, 3 years.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, Houston was – allowing the ball to get into the corner and then trapping. You saw that happen to Goody and Kofi. And then the other, on some of the out-of-bounds plays, Illinois was running a lot of the plays they weren't allowing them to run their normal sets. And Illinois didn't adjust. Like, the players just cut. They don't cut hard. And so they got away with it. I think a lot of times teams are so concerned about giving up a basket on an out-of-bounds play that they don't, defend it hard. They just let them throw it in bounds and then run their sets. That's when Illinois has been really good. And instead, what Houston did, they put a taller guy on the ball. And Illinois always has, Demonte is the tallest guy they have in bounds. He's, 6'2", 6'3". And then, or Trent or Curbelo. And they literally, so it makes it hard for them to see. And it's really, it's effective. It's it kind of goes back to, I think, Thad Mata used to do that at Ohio State. Illinois, remember, Nana Egwu used to guard out-of-bounds plays on the ball for John Gross, even then. And so we've seen that before, but Illinois didn't adjust. You got to cut harder. You got to set better screens, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, and Thad learned that in Central Illinois. We played against them, and all of our teams would put a big guy on the ball to make it hard to inbound it. Matt, you were there. You're still there in PPG Paint Arena. Give us your thoughts of what you saw today.
I think the guys who – this is their last game. We know it's their last game in an Illinois jersey, meaning the seniors, just didn't play very well. The Indiana game, I remember he shot 2 of 7 from three, but I don't remember another game where Alfonso Plummer shoots 2 of 7 from three. I mean, even if he's not even looking at the basket, he might make half of them. Trent, again, just doesn't have a good offensive day. You can blame the eye thing. You can blame just being out of sync and out of rhythm. You can blame it on a lot of things. The only three he hit was the one at the halftime buzzer, and it got Illinois to 4, and I thought that gave him a huge lift. But he just didn't come out in the second half offensively and have any kind of rhythm whatsoever. You got nothing out of Jacob Granderson through no fault of that 24-year-old. I mean, he's literally playing with one arm. I mean, his left arm is completely disabled. Let's just be real about it. He gave it his best shot, but you got nothing out of him. And offensively, you got nothing out of DeMonte, but that's not really his role. So you knew you weren't going to get much offensively out of DeMonte. And Houston knew it too, but those four guys in their Illini career on a thud. And I feel for those four guys because they've done so much to build up this program to, you know, what it is now, which is back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances, a Big Ten regular season championship. And they just can't get out of the first weekend of the tournament. But I give them all the credit in the world of putting Illinois where they are right now, based off of where they were when they signed 4 or 5 years ago. And in Plummer's case, you know, he signed last year, but he gets his first NCAA tournament experience, and this is his only NCAA tournament experience. So I just feel for those guys. I feel for those veterans that just didn't play very well today.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Illinois, you know, it used to be like you got a lot of crap for losing in the first game of the tournament. As soon as Illinois gets to the point where they always win the first game, now they get a lot of crap for not getting out of the first weekend. It gives a goal for Coach Underwood to do, but kind of reminds me of those early years of the Lou Henson regime when it was tough to get forward in the tournament. Ked, you obviously have a history of coaching AAU and coaching high school and college. What did you see?
I mean, I just think today the athleticism that Houston had, it exposed Illinois. You know, you could be a good player, and then you could be a great player, but from an athletic standpoint, it was just different. I mean, going to getting loose balls, yeah, that's effort, but they were a little, like, you know, Brad mentioned, they were a lot longer. They were quicker to the basketball. I don't think it was a talent standpoint. I really don't. But you can see some of the great teams that play, you know, they just have great athletes. And to be honest, I don't really think Houston played great. I think Illinois got open looks. And let's face it, they peaked in November, December. They're going down. You know, last year they were peaking at the right time. This year, if you go back and look, I mean, they've struggled offensively in a lot of games. And this, you know, today wasn't it. They were lucky to win last Friday. So let's call it. It is what it is. I mean, like Matt mentioned, those seniors who helped put Illinois back on the map, you know, you have to thank those kids because they stuck it out. And other kids, you know, didn't want any part of it. So I can respect them from that standpoint. But, you know, now, you know, moving forward, you see what you have to do to compete at this level. And at the end of the day, we can talk X's and O's. We can say whatever we want. You have to make shots. You have to put the ball in the basket. You can be a great defensive team because as good as Houston was defensively, they were able to put the ball in the basket as well. So I don't want to minimize the fact that Illinois just didn't peak at the right time and they were going backwards and they were lucky to be in the games that they were in.
Okay, perfect. And, of course, Larry, you've covered 12 Final Fours, so you're right there with Coach K. What did you see from the seasoned media perspective?
Yeah, Coach K has got the Final Four trophies, the 12 all up in his trophy case. I've got my 12 press passes.
There we are.
Pretty similar. Pretty similar right there.
Larry's retiring at the end of the year?
No. Yeah. Did I hear that right? Well, that was the end of the
podcast. Yeah, if Rita walks around holding hands with Larry for no reason, that means That means there's a TV camera on, because we all know how Coach K has a different behavior when there's a TV camera on. But
sorry, Illini guys, you'll know this, but even in days like this, I can still be a smart ass. So go ahead, boss. My fault.
Yeah, when you see us on TikTok holding hands, walking through and walking into a closet, then you know it's time. No, I mean, you know, I watched the game like everyone else did, and I agree with what everyone else has said. Something happened to this team late. I don't know if it's tired legs, if it's the grind, if it's just simply whatever it is. But you're talking about offensively. Brad Underwood said going in last Sunday that, hey, having a week off is going to be great. We don't have the grind of the Big Ten tournament, all those things. And yet the team came out as flat as they had been since Thanksgiving. Couple of things. 17 field goals Sunday. That's the lowest since they scored only – they made only 16 in the debacle against Cincinnati back before Thanksgiving. This was the second worst total of field goals. They end the season with three straight games under 40% shooting, 36% against Indiana in the Big Ten quarterfinals, 39% Friday night, 34% on this day. The three-pointers, you guys, you're right. You got to make shots. Combined in these two NCAA tournament games, 9 of 42 from outside the arc, 21% shooting. That's all that they made. And the turnovers, 31 combined turnovers in these two games. That's their worst back-to-back games turnover-wise since before Thanksgiving. So, you know, and okay, that's the bad. Here's the good. And I know we got a lot to talk about here. Disappointing that you don't get out of the first weekend for the second year in a row. But at the same time, this program is still on the uptick. I'd rather have this program where they are, with Brad Underwood calling the shots, with the staff he's assembled, with the players that we know are coming back and that we know are coming in. We'll see what happens in the transfer portal. You now have established yourself as one of the premier teams in the Big Ten. But again, the next step is, can you get to the premier teams nationally? And the down part of not winning today on Sunday is that you don't take that next step until 2023. Otherwise, there's everything to feel good about this Illinois program.
Yeah, I think that's something that Illini fans need to take a little bit of solace in. You know, people really underestimated the depth and the width of the hole that the end of the Bruce Weber era and the whole John Gross era left for Coach Underwood and this current group of players to dig out from. Certainly Trent and DeMonte would be very able to describe to us, because they had to do the climbing from that rock bottom point all the way up. One of the questions I had, Brad, and maybe something that you can help talk about, but this Illini team has really, dominated, maybe too strong of a word, but over the last 3 years, they've been clearly the best team in the Big Ten, looking at the W's and the L's. So what is it about Big Ten basketball and being able to be the power of the Big Ten that, granted, we didn't get to see 3 years or to the 3 years ago because of the COVID issues, but the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament, it's been an earlier exit than what we had maybe planned. What is it about the Big Ten that doesn't translate into the NCAA that's kind of the next hill for Coach Underwood and the staff to get over?
Well, they have to get more talent. I mean, you know, there's a reason guys like RJ Melendez can go in and compete at that level against Houston, because he's athletic. You know, and I'm not bagging on the guys they have, but, and I've said this many times, you have your top six players. You have Kofi and five guys that are unranked guys in high school. That doesn't mean they're not useful players. That doesn't mean they're not good players, even in their roles. But you don't have those athletes that are dynamic guys who can go get a bucket when they need to. You just don't have that, and you have to get there. And they're not long. They're not overly athletic. So you rely on skill, and when your skill, it leaves you. And I think part of the problem is they don't have that athleticism. So teams run them off the line. They don't have to worry about them putting the ball on the floor. That's where Melendez kind of makes a difference, because he can do that. And, you know, a healthy Andre Curbelo, who's right and playing all season, probably changes the trajectory of this team as well. So there's a healthy Austin Hutcherson, a length on the wing. Maybe that changes things. So there's a lot of things that could help. You know, could have changed things, but at the end of the day, they're just not there from an athletic talent standpoint to win big. That even, you know, last year they had Io DeSumo, and that's great. And you know, and he's a fantastic player, but, you know, Baylor had three guards who, you know, got drafted ahead of IO. So, and they won the national title. So it kind of tells you, you know, you've got to, guards win, and your guards have to be dynamic. They have to be athletic. And Illinois doesn't have those right now. They have some really nice players, but they got to get more guys who can really create their own. And that's where you're going to see the guys coming in next year are all guys that can create their own.
Yeah, and that was one of the things as I was interviewing Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle previewing it. He talked about Tajay Moore being able to kiss the rim. And when you start seeing a guy who's 6'5" and he has that athletic ability, you know, we talked and we kind of predicted he'd have one massive dunk and maybe even one, you know, dynamic block shot. We didn't think he'd score, you know, quite as effectively as he did. But it definitely showed you, you know, the difference in athleticism that they have between the teams. Matt, what does this
did he get game... a technical mic for hanging on the rim at all?
Yeah, trust me, don't even get me started on that. You know, again, did that lose the game for the Illini? Absolutely, positively not. But Illinois needed everything to go right for them to have a rally, and that started everything going wrong. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, Matt, what does this game mean for the Illini right now in the short term?
I think in the short term it means that people are going to be mad, and that's normal. That's natural. I would think in the long term, it means that Illinois is in a better place than they were 2 years ago. And they were in a better place than they were 5 years ago. They have a coach who has created a culture where I think you can anticipate that Illinois will be in this tournament relatively on an annual basis. And I talk about it all the time, but it's a crapshoot. And you want to stand at the end of the craps table with the dice in your hand trying to make a run. And I think that Brad Underwood with his assistants and how he's been recruiting and the guys that they have coming in and the guys that they are looking at to possibly come in, he has this program on a level that I think right now where you can feel good about Illinois being at the end of that craps table with the dice in their hand and trying to make a run. Cause that's all you really can do. And I know Illinois fans were really frustrated when I was growing up that Lou Henson could never really get over that hump, but for 1 year, when they made the Final Four. I think that frustration exists with Brad Underwood, but you got to put yourself in a situation where, I don't mean to quote Brad Underwood, but you got to put yourself in a situation where you're giving yourself a chance every year, because Kentucky fans did not think that St. Peter's was going to be their impediment to an NCAA tournament run this year, but it is. And so what's Kentucky going to do next year? They're going to get a whole bunch of dudes and they're going to try to do it again next year. And I think if Illinois can get themselves in a place where annually you're doing that, then you've put yourself in a situation where you're going to see a long run eventually, because you're going to have that culture. But I personally agree with a lot of the things that Brad Underwood said today in this post game. I thought they played their butt off on defense. I really, really did. The thing that I want to point out though, is that you're playing a Houston team who last year made a Final Four run, where I think in the four games that they won in this tournament last year, a lot of teams would go that lost to Houston would go, I just don't think they played very well. That's kind of the calling card of Calvin Sampson's Houston's teams, is like, yeah, we lost to a team that, you know, really didn't even play all that well against us. Yeah, they did, because their culture is about suffocating you. It's not about what they're doing on the offensive end. It's about suffocating you on the glass and suffocating you defensively. They preach it every single day, and all those kids are bought in because they know it can result in the Final Four run. The only difference between Houston and Illinois is Houston right now is at a level a little bit higher than what they preach, than what Illinois preaches, but it's the same stuff. But the Houston kids have seen a Final Four run doing that, and the Illinois kids just haven't yet. And I think that this program is on a trajectory, meaning Illinois, that you're going to see that run eventually, because, you know, culture matters. And I just think that what this staff and what this program has done over the last 2 years has shown you that they can be they can be part of the conversation every year. And that's all that you can really hope for, because a lot of this tournament is luck. And Illinois got outplayed today, and they got outplayed last year against Loyola, and that's going to happen. But eventually I think a run's going to happen.
Ed, what are your thoughts of what this, you know, really means here for the Illini program and Brad Underwood right now?
I think, you know, I know the coaches, I know the fans are upset right now, and they have a right to be, or they're hurt. It seems like Illinois just can't get the monkey off their back. But I would much rather be in this situation than what it was 4 or 5 years ago. When you look at the rosters, and I know the coaches will take a deep look at it, I trust them. I really do trust them. And every Illinois fan should as well, because look at where you are right now. But if you want to get to the next step, to me, this is me from a coaching standpoint. I think they have one guy on their roster who can get the ball on the wing and get to the rim when he wants to, and I think that's Melendez. This kid sat for 2 games, and he went, as soon as he got in the game, he was able to attack the basket. He does that. That's the way other teams play. And he's long. Illinois doesn't have that. I mean, Trent could get to the basket, but he's been struggling. They don't have a lot of guys like that. When you look at a lot of teams in the Big Ten, every team has a 6'6", 6'7" guy. And that's what Illinois is going to need, more guys like that. And guys who can put the ball on the floor, who can make that mid-range game. You look at Curbelo last Friday night, he got 5, 6 pull-ups in the free throw line. He can make any of them. Opposing teams make those shots. They need shot makers. And I think they did a good job with Melendez, Pajimski, and Duke Goody. Those, all three of those kids to shoot the basketball. And I think Coach Underwood has harped on that. If you remember a couple of years ago, they could put them in the ocean. So moving forward, I think what you do with your roster, you don't want to have any liabilities. You don't want to have guys who don't score and guys who make it tough for other people to score. I just don't think you can do that anymore. And hopefully, you know, they can continue to recruit these guys and to get some of these kids in. And I know they're in on a lot of kids, you know, and the transfer portal is going to be good to them, hopefully, and also, you know, a couple of high school kids. But you got to stay on the recruiting aspect of it, you guys, and you got to get shot makers and guys who can get their own. At the end of the day, you cannot have guys just chucking up shots because they can't.
So, Larry, you take a kind of a unique look at this. What does this mean for the Illini team? You know, you're obviously looking at it from the optics of how the media would cover the program. What does this loss mean, at least for the short term here?
Well, yeah, I want to touch on that, but I think too we should touch on, and I'm going to do a quick rundown of all the obstacles of this team after Brad Underwood replaced all three assistants in the offseason. I mean, Austin Hutcherson with the back injury missed the entire season again. He's expected to provide a lot of the length that Kedrick was just talking about on the perimeter and some defense on a high level, the things he had done in practice, he never got a chance to show. Colfe, the 3-game suspension at the start of the season. Trent Frazier, the shoulder injury that hampered his entire season, his non-shooting shoulder, wore a harness all year. Andre Curbelo, the concussion, missed 2.5 months. There was a flu bug that they had to wipe out practice once or twice during Thanksgiving. There was a COVID outbreak. They lost a game at Christmas. There was Kofi's concussion. He missed 2 games. There was Curbelo's COVID that he struggled through once he got back from concussion. BBV had a concussion. Granderson, the shoulder injury. RJ Melendez, the appendicitis, and he was out games. The entire team with pink eye. I mean, really? I mean, it is insane. I've never in 34 years of in the media, I've never seen a team struggle with this kind of stuff. Now, what it hurts from a national standpoint, I've mentioned this before, just in passing some conversations, is that the reason the Sweet 16, the second weekend, is so important is because those are the 16 teams that everyone focuses on. And already right now, as we're recording this, without knowing what else is going to happen Sunday night, you're already hearing out Michigan's a great team. Oh my God, 5 straight years in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga, 5 straight years in the Sweet 16. UNC, crapped the bed most of the season. Oh my God, all of a sudden Hubert Davis is a genius, right? That becomes the narrative. So what Illinois has done is a very good thing. I mean, this program was ground zero when Brad Underwood took it over, and he's built it up. Now we've got a Big Ten tournament title, a Big Ten championship title, more wins in the Big Ten over the last 3 years, more road wins in the Big Ten the last 3 years. But you're not going to get that next level in terms of a national respect until you get past this level. And so the one thing this loss does is it does hurt the program in terms of they can't take that next step until next year. And I might have just said this a moment ago. If I said it, I apologize. But yeah, I think that's the one thing. But what everyone's talking about, this program is in great shape. I'm not at all concerned for the future. I think it's very bright. And even though Trent and DeMonte and the seniors didn't get the success they would have liked to have gotten, they're the reason for this. They're the backbone for the success. Just like we talk about Ayo Dosunmu and some players coming in because of Ayo and some top level talent wanting to be here because they see what Ayo is doing with the Chicago Bulls. Ayo doesn't happen without Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams. And so because you have those two kind of setting the standard, the everyday guys, the lunch pail, the mentality, the all for one, the great culture that Brad Underwood can now take and sell to other recruits. Remember, he was just selling a dream for the first 3 years when he got here. Ayo comes in, Kofi comes in, but the guys who are there as the baseline, you've got to have that foundation, and that's what they've done. So difficult loss, but I think this program is in as good a shape as ever. You know, let's all hope that Kofi comes back. I mean, no, there's some chances of that happening, you know, because he's not on any mock drafts, incredibly. And it's good for Illinois if he does try to come back and become the school's all-time leading scorer and rebounder. He also gives you that marquee name. There's a reason that Illinois was up first on Sunday, because there's really two marquee names this year in college basketball, and Kofi's one of them. The other one got knocked out Thursday night. So you've got all the pieces there, and at least now the thing that Illinois, because of Iowa and because of Kofi, because of the seniors, Illinois is now one of those teams that, even though you're not in the Sweet 16, you're not in the final, you're not quite to that level, you're going to have a little bit of there's a sexiness, there's an attractiveness to the Illinois name because of a Kofi Coburn, and because the national media has gotten a little bit of a taste. And so that's still a positive, not as much as you could have gotten, but it's still a positive in terms of the perception of this program moving forward.
Excellent. Excellent. So Brad, what does a coaching staff do? You know, the season kind of comes to an abrupt end. It does for every team except for one, I guess maybe two, because both teams on the final know that that's it for that night. What does the coaching staff do? Now, you know, they get up, there's no more games to worry about this season. What kind of shift do they make into the recruiting world?
Well, first thing you do is you're going to meet with all your guys, figure out who's coming back, who isn't coming back. Then you're going to find out, go out the transfer portal and bring in the guys that you need. It's just that simple. I mean, that's the next few months are going to tell the tale of this program. And you know, obviously, I think the biggest decision that people are waiting for is what Kofi's going to do. And I think that, you know, it's up in the air for sure. But I think he's leaning towards coming back. I made a comment on Friday or Saturday in the presser kind of alluding to that, that it's a possibility. So if he comes back, Illinois becomes a trendy top 15 pick. Even with that, because they're always going to have Kofi. He's going to keep the games. But, you know, I think that they're going to try and get longer. They're going to get more athletic. They're going to try and get guys that can shoot it. And they, you know, everybody, it seems like they've had guys who are limited, a lot of limited guys out on the floor. If they can shoot it, maybe they're limited other places. They want guys who can be, you know, multifaceted. You know, a guy like RJ Melendez is a great example, and he's going to make that big leap. And now you got to put the pieces around he and possibly Kofi and, you know, build from there.
Kedrick, what do you think after you saw today, what we see going on, what do you think the coaches will be focusing on then? Everything Brad said, anything else that was missed or anything you'd be looking at?
Just to me, I've used this, I think, the last podcast. I like guys who are just mentally tough. You have to find those guys. Brad Underwood has that culture, and he's talked about that culture. I saw that with Calvin Sampson's team today. They just look like a bunch of pit bulls. I think that's what Brad Underwood wants, and I think that's what he's trying to get. And I know Ty Rogers is one of those guys. I mean, he's one of those guys, I think if you punched him, I don't think he'd move. He needs and he wants kids like that. I like a kid. I keep harping on this kid is RJ. I like aggressive kids. Kids that are passive to me and don't want the ball at crunch time, I struggle with. I would want them in my program. RJ had, what was he, sat a couple games and Luke Goody. They sat the bench and came in the game today on a national stage and performed. You want guys like that. I'm not saying that they don't have them, but having aggressive guys like that who you know who are tough and when things aren't going well, you're going to take the ball from them and you're going to defend. They need to recruit and get a bunch of guys like that in the program. To me, it's easier said than done because everybody likes to have those kids. And I get that and I understand that. They've got the groundwork started. There's some already there. And the cupboard won't be bare. You know, I just saw a tweet from Pat Forty taking a shot at Brad Underwood saying he's been to the Sweet 16, or he's been in a tournament six times and not reached the Sweet 16. Well, some of those were with Stephen F. Austin, so it's kind of unfair to him. You know, as Larry mentioned earlier, Brad put the program in good shape, and a lot of it is, I think Matt mentioned this, a lot of it is luck. You have to have a lot of things go your way. Who's to say that Illinois would have shot like they played against Purdue and Arizona? They would have blown Houston out of the gym today. It just wasn't meant to be today.
And Matt, what are your thoughts?
I talked about this after Friday night, that the second NCAA tournament game has nothing to do with the one you just played. And the best example I can give you guys on that is today absolutely had to be a Coleman Hawkins day if Illinois was going to win, because Houston just has so many long guys that they run at the glass and that they just, they dog you off defensively. Coleman had to be good today. He wasn't very good. 3 points, three rebounds, four rebounds, three fouls, and 19 and a half minutes. That's not good enough. Why do I mention that? Because Coleman was awesome on Friday night, and he's the reason why you're here today playing the second round game against Houston. So, you have to have a litany of dudes that can go get it. And that was like I talked about on Friday night, it was an unfair ask for Kofi to just be the king of the mountaintop on Friday night, but that's how it had to go, I thought, for Illinois to advance. And I felt like, if Illinois was going to advance today, it was probably an unfair ask for Coleman to have a career day, and he didn't, and Illinois got beat. But there were a lot of people that didn't have good days today. But when you're going up against 6'6 and 6'7 dudes that are aggressive, like Ked said, and just want to go at the glass, and have seen how this type of defense and this type of rebounding can lead to a Final Four run, you shouldn't have to put it all on Coleman and Kofi's shoulders. And Illinois kind of had to do that today, and it didn't work out. But I feel like Houston's, if Houston can play like that defensively and on the glass, they got a chance against anybody. And they probably are going to play Arizona and San Antonio in a week. They got a chance because that gives you a chance no matter how you're shooting it and how you're putting it in the basket. That's just the way. I mean, I thought Illinois gave themselves a chance for about 30 minutes of this ball game because of the way that they were defending. I mean, I can't give them enough credit for that, especially with the amount of offensive rebounds they gave up, and they still would force Houston to take a tough shot. So I think defensively, in terms of philosophy and in terms of program building and in terms of culture, Brad Underwood's got it locked down at Illinois. You will not be on the floor if you cannot defend and you cannot go to the glass aggressively. And so if you're that kind of a player, Illinois is for you. And I enjoy what Ked was saying about RJ Melendez, because there is nothing in my mind that says he can't make that freshman to sophomore leap, just like Keegan Murray did this year at Iowa. So I think from a short-term perspective, today stinks. If you're wearing orange and blue, from a long-term perspective, I think the guy who's standing up on the sidelines for your basketball program in every game has gotten you to a point where you're going to make the tournament every year. And that's a pretty tough – that was a pretty tough ask 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was something that we didn't see. And I go back to my youth when, the first time that Illinois went to postseason play in, almost 20 years was when Lou Henson took them to the NIT. They ended up getting third place that year. And then the next year, they ended up getting into the Sweet 16, and everybody was like, oh, we're on the ride. And then in 1982 ended up going to the NIT and losing in the second round. So, and then the next year was the NCAA first round. And then all of a sudden, you had that Elite Eight that controversially ended at Kentucky, then a Sweet 16, culminating at the end of his tenure, or towards the end of that 1989 team in the Final Four. Larry, where do you think this team is, you know, when you look at that? And do you see this as a building block process, or how do you look at it when you're judging a program?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to address what Ken just talked about, I guess, or somebody said about Pat 40. And this is, you know, when you don't get to the second weekend, this is, you open yourself up to the national pundits throwing shots at you. I'd remind Pat that there's a coach years ago who took over a team that had just reached the Elite Eight, and he comes in as a new coach. He misses the NCAA tournament the next 3 years, and then he makes the tournament the next 2 years and loses in the second round, fails to reach the round of 16. But in year six, he took his team all the way to the title game, and they lost the national championship to a Louisville team. It was 1986. The coach is Mike Krzyzewski of Duke. So, you know, you can take shots at a guy who was at, as Ken mentioned, at a low major, Stephen F. Austin, that you're not going to get, you know, as we've seen, the reason why you're going to hear St. Peter's more than you actually pray to St. Peter this week is because it's a school that's near New York, and they're a Cinderella, and they're a 15th seed, and they're a darling. Those schools don't get to do that. Stephen F. Austin was never going to get to the second weekend. It just doesn't happen. And then Oklahoma State, he took a team again in year one that was winless in its first, I think its first six Big 12 games. They go 9-9 the rest of the way or whatever. And they I forget how they find their way. They're 9-3. Bottom line is he turned it around midseason, and they found their way into the tournament and lost their first game. I'm not worried at all. I think Illinois fans should understand.
Yeah, if I can add to what Larry just said, I was going to add, Larry, that I just watched a dude named Jay Wright who couldn't win the big one years back until he did. You know, and so, you know, that narrative doesn't work for me because apparently Mark Few couldn't get to a Final Four until he did. You know, apparently John Calipari couldn't win a national title until he did. You know, I mean, like, you give yourself enough chances at this thing, and you give yourself enough roles at this thing, you're going to eventually do it. Like, Lou Henson did it once. He got his name on the floor at multiple schools. So, you know.
Yeah, it's one of those things that national guys need something to talk about. And it goes back to, again, like I mentioned earlier, when you're a Big Ten champion regular season or tournament and you don't get to the second weekend, you open yourself up. And so you're not going to get that respect from guys like Pat 40 and others. It's a cheap shot, but that's just what they do. And because you're not one of the final 16, and but you trust the process and what you're doing. And I think Illinois fans should understand, I was going to say a moment ago, is that you have one of the very best coaches in college basketball, if not the best. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a single coach out there that I'd rather have as leading the Illinois program than Brett Underwood and in this staff. And I would take him 100 times over. Understand what he's accomplished. Look at what he's accomplished big picture, and understand that he's building a roster now, getting to the point where you're going to be among the very, very biggest of boys very soon.
Yeah. And as we kind of go around the last time, because those are good perspectives to put on there, Brad, what's your takeaway, your final takeaway from the game as we kind of wrap up this discussion in the Illini going down in the second round to the Houston Cougars?
Well, first of all, I'd say Pat 40 graduated from Missouri. So he should not throw any stones at anyone, right? I mean, seriously. First of all, you got a degree that almost shouldn't count. And then second of all, your program is like in the crapper. So anyway, so that's my Pat 40 comment. So anyway, I think the biggest thing for
Brad, I'm just going to pick up. Yeah, talk about not reaching the sweets the second weekend, Mizzou.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't even have a weekend. They don't even get weekends. Even in their tournament, they don't get weekends.
Yeah, yeah. The Mizzou's like, wait a minute, you guys can still play basketball in late March? Really?
any March. Oh, no. You're right. No, here's my thing. I would say that the one thing is that people need to it's going to be a rocky few months, I think, every offseason for every college basketball team. Transfers in, transfers out, just coming and going. It's a zoo right now, and it hasn't kind of found its way into kind of any kind of a regression to the mean, I guess, when this comes. Like, we're still in that chaotic era of the transfer portal. And I think we're going to see, 1,500 to 2,000 Division I kids transfer this year. So stay tuned, stay patient. last year it was complete panic. All three assistants leave. Io goes pro. Adam Miller transfers to LSU. Chaos reigns, and it turned out this team did okay. And so now you just got to keep building and keep adding guys, adding pieces. And I think that's what they're going to spend the next few months doing. And of course, we'll have all the, we can tell you exactly what's going to happen on IlliniGuys.com.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep people in the know, because if you're listening to this, obviously Brad and Ked, you know, are the Uber insiders. That's why we have people from other sites who subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. Ked, what are your final takeaways from today?
Again, I want to thank the seniors, for especially Trent and DeMonte, for sticking around. I know that whole time with Pickett and Tillman, that those guys bolted. They put Illinois in a good situation, and they didn't want to leave. I know the fans, I said earlier, the fans are frustrated. They're mad. Everybody wants to point fingers and blame and do all these things, and I'm guilty of that as well. I'm not going to pretend that I'm different, because I've said those things as well. I really want to see them get the kids that they want to go after. Some of these kids see where the program is going, believe in where the program is going, and to get those kids, to get them over the hump. I look at some teams in the Big Ten, and, you know, Illinois can compete with the teams in the Big Ten, but when you get out nationally, I think they just need those few more athletic guys. Like, you know, I mentioned Ty Rogers, where you can throw a lob to him at half court, he can go get and dunk it. Same thing you could do with Coleman. You know, I really want – I think, to me, there's a lot of guys that we don't have time to go through all of them. But I think the one guy, if Illinois really wants to take that next leap, you know, I think if Coleman is really, really consistent shooting the three ball, not every game, he is going to change the dynamic of that team, especially if Kobe comes back.
Okay, Matt?
I'm going to get on my soapbox for 2 minutes, and because I saw a lot in our game room today about fans saying they can't wait for these seniors to get out of here because Illinois can be better without them. I'm very, very interested in who Underwood's glue guys are going to be going forward, because they're all walking out the door as far as I can see, maybe short of Luke Goody. I think he has all the attributes to be a good glue guy like that. But for somebody to be an Illini fan and literally think that DeMonte Williams had nothing to do with this Big Ten championship and having the most Big Ten wins over the last 3 years is out of their mind. If they think that Trent Frazier had nothing to do with that, even when he had games where he wasn't putting the ball in the basket, they're out of their mind. I am more than interested in who the guys are going to be. Who are the unselfish guys going to be? Who are the guys that are going to give themselves to the program and say, I don't care how many points I score today or this season or how many times I actually get to touch the basketball. I'm going to affect the game in other ways. And that's what Brad Underwood's program has been sold on. I think Luke Goody could be one of those guys. I think Coleman Hawkins could be one of those guys and also be a guy that could go and do a lot of things offensively like Keegan Murray does for Iowa right now. I think he could be one of those guys. I think Dane Danger could be one of those guys. So, yes, they do need a different type of athlete to probably give themselves a better shot at this, especially against the Houstons of the world that they're going to face to try to get into the second weekend. But to suggest that they're not going to need glue guys that contributed everything that Trent and DeMonte and Jacob Grandison did for, you know, 5, 4, and even 3 years is just ridiculous. And so I think that's where the big question marks lead for Illinois going forward. And I can't wait to see how they get answered. But those three individuals gave everything they had to an Illini program that was in the wilderness 5 and 4 years ago. And you are watching this game today on CBS in the second round of the tournament because of what those three individuals gave. So I hate that their career ended this way, but that's the questions I have going forward about Illini basketball. It's not about like who they're going after athletically, because I think that they have a good scouting eye. I think they know what they're doing. Oh, by the way, the head coach knows what he's doing too. And so I just feel like the program's in a good place. You just have to have the ball go in a little bit more than it did today against Houston, and you'll be moving on in this type of an environment.
Larry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, kind of the same. I look ahead to, I agree with what everyone's saying about this. When you look at, you know, four potential starters for next year, if everyone stays that we think is going to stay, You've got a chance of having a two-time first-team All-American at center and the school's all-time leading scorer, rebounder at that position, and once again, a leading candidate for National Player of the Year. You've got a four-man, a 6'10", stretch four who can hit the outside shot and is the guy that this program's been looking for. I think the Coleman Hawkins could develop into that at the four. You've got an RJ Melendez, like you said, you know, I would not be surprised if he makes a Keegan Murray type jump and gets up into the 18, 19 point range next year, possibly. You've got a point guard, Andre Curbelo, that if he can, you know, work out again, continue to get healthy after the concussion and he's there, when he's on, he's as dynamic as there is at the point. So that's your four potential starters, let alone the guys you have coming in and the guys already here working hard off the bench. I think that's an outstanding core. And I agree that you put those guys up there. That's a real nice athletic, very talented, high level core. Illinois should go in as, again, one of the top three teams in the Big Ten next year, no question. And once again, in the rankings and working toward getting past this hump, that it's only going to get sweeter. Look, again, you know, Underwood took over. You look at how unathletic this team was when he took over, and when these seniors now they leave, how where the program is, it's in good shape. This is tough pill to swallow, but Houston also three straight years in the Sweet 16, and that's part of the culture that they've developed there. Again, you don't have a ton of five-star kids flocking to go to Houston, but it's part of what they've developed, and there's just good things to come for Illinois.
Yeah, the Illini, I'll tell you, as a as a longtime Illini fan, this is one of the teams that has been the most fun to watch, because I don't think we've ever seen an Illini team overcome the list of things that Larry has talked about and go 15-5 in a competitive Big Ten. Put a guy on the first team All-American list. And, you know, those are the type of things that I think have been really fun to watch as a fan and as being a privilege of covering the team. Additionally, the development of this team to go through, because it seems like every time they put out one fire, there would be a new fire starting somewhere else. And somehow they managed to go through the Big Ten season 15-5. If you would have told me the laundry list that Larry read off, I would have said, well, we'll be about, 12-8 in the Big Ten, be on the bubble. And that's how a coach like John Gross or even Bruce Weber would have done it. It would have been an endless array of excuses and, you know, woe is me. And Brad Underwood just says, well, we're going to find a way to our guys to beat their guys. I'm not certain who our guys are going to be on any given night. And we saw some things that we've really never seen before. You know, we saw teams that defensively would literally physically put handcuffs on other teams for a half and get victories. We also saw teams that look like, unfortunately for Illini fans, it looked like somebody had put a lid over the top of the basket, making it a challenging half as well. Sometimes those were in the same games. And so it was a challenging year, but yet as I watch this team and you think about the memories that Damonte Williams and Trent Frazier have provided to Illini fans, they'll go down as some of my favorite players of all time. They may not go down as like Eddie Johnson and Derek Harper as guys who became NBA all-stars, but they'll go down as great Illini who contributed to the memories that make me an Illini fan. So today, as we kind of look at the end of this podcast, I'm going to, you know, tip my hat and thank those gentlemen for what they've done. You know, obviously Jacob Grandison gave everything he could, you know, and we had Alfonso Plummer, who had just an amazing season as a transfer. I'll be sad to see them all go. And then at the same time, it's a natural part of life. Now we're going to get a whole new crop to see who's going to be the next guy to be the glue guy, the next guy to be the defensive stopper, the next guy who's going to hit that three when the game is on the line. And I tend to trust what Brad Underwood and his staff can do. And this year, folks, think about it. He probably has a whole staff. Wouldn't that be amazing? Because we're looking at this year where basically, you know, the whole staff left and it's Brad Underwood all by himself for a period of the off season. So this should be a fantastic off season for the Illini. My guess is that, the staff is just as frustrated as everybody else about losing earlier than they would have liked to. At the same time, my guess is they're going to roll out of bed tomorrow and they're going to start the off-season process because they have a checklist of what they know they need to accomplish to set up next year to be a Big Ten contender and hopefully do better in the post season in the form of the NCAA tournament. I got to tell you, I don't care about the Big Ten tournament. And I know Brad Underwood would argue with me that I'm ridiculous, but that's just the way I feel. But I'd like to thank Illini guy Brad Sturdy, Illini guy Larry Smith, Illini guy Director of Recruiting Kedrick Prince, and also Illini guy staff writer Matt Stevens for joining the show today. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. We will have plenty of eye on the Illini's, so don't think that they're not coming your way. One of the things we do is we'll be covering recruiting extensively in the off season. And then with the transfer portal and all the things going on, the NBA draft, we are going to be busy, busy, busy. So with that, everybody have a fantastic day and thank you so much for listening. Go Illini. So the Illini season wraps up with a defeat to the Houston Cougars, but we still have IlliniGuys.com. You can go there, get a subscription. Do not miss out because recruiting is going to start hitting literally next weekend. AAU tournaments start up. You're going to see people all over looking and setting up. These seniors will be seniors to be juniors. Will be putting themselves in the best place to get recruited. You'll hear all about it here at IlliniGuys.com. You don't want to miss it. A lot of that stuff goes back in the message boards. You have Brad and Ked and myself, Larry, and various others who are out at AAU tournaments. We also cover football recruiting as well. You have 7-on-7 that happens. So there's a lot of moving pieces to it. You want to make sure you stay in the loop. IlliniGuys.com is the place to be. We also have a free 7-day trial. So if you don't like it, you can on day 6 or day 7, you can say, I don't want it. And that's that. We don't have it happen very often, but we welcome people to try it that way. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. Please take a listen to that. You will hear that once a week. It's a 2-hour radio show that's on Friday or Saturday, depending on where you're at in the state of Illinois. If you want to go to IlliniGuys.com, look at the radio button. It'll tell you what city and station has the show, what day of the week, and what time they play it. All we ask that you do is make a phone call to your station and say thank you for having us on. That will really help us out quite a bit. And of course, we have a full gamut of other podcasts. We have Sturdy for 30, the award-winning flagship of our brand. Brad has on people who are Illini related. He also has other teams and other coaches and other media members that he's met over his 20 years. And we also have Ked's Recruiting Roundup, which gives you the recruiting, but not from the coaching side, not from the school side, but what a player or their parents or their coaches experience and how they approach that. It's an eye-opening podcast that really is different than anything else you can find. So the season's wound down, but folks, last year at this time, that's when it just started heating up. This year, we're expecting the same type of thing. So you can stay tuned to find out all the news, see who's going to be here, who's not going to be here, see who's jumping on board the Illini bandwagon, who's not. There's a lot of things going on, and you can get it at IlliniGuys.com. Thank you very much, and thank you for listening to us this basketball season.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh! There it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.